Ciara Grant, you're heading to the World Cup in Australia. Many congratulations. Firstly, just how good does that feel?
Honestly, Chris, it's the best feeling in the world. It's been a whirlwind of a few weeks, and just to get the good news on Tuesday evening was, honestly, it was incredible. Just delighted.
Now, you're certainly, you've got plenty of experience under your belt, and I was just looking, you know, you've been capped by the Republic of Ireland since under 15 levels, so pretty much half your life you've represented your country, but I'm sure starting off, little did you think you would end up playing in a World Cup final.
Absolutely, like, and you know, the fact that this is our first major tournament that we've qualified and it's taken this long, you know, I never really heard of the Irish women's team ever qualifying for major tournaments. And then when I got on the squad, the ambition was there, but we knew we were still kind of a long way off back in 2012. But when I joined back at the team 2 years ago, just the strides that everyone had made, even the professionalism of the association, the backing in the women's department, it was incredible. So yeah, that was, you know, quietly creeping into my head 2 years ago. And then once the campaign started and we, you know, were getting good results, it was just becoming more and more of a reality. So yeah, it's just been an incredible journey the last few years.
Yeah, so you were away from the international scene pursuing your career. And when you came back, I mean, did you think you would get back into the international squad? Or how big a challenge was that at the time?
I think, yeah, the biggest thing for me was trying to get a job that was more 9-to-5 and allowed me to train at a higher level, and then getting back to Dublin. So when I signed with Shelburne, you know, there was home-based sessions going on. And when I went up to one, I knew I was still a little bit off at, you know, the kind of pace. So I just kind of got my head down and worked hard and had two good seasons with Shelburne. And then when I got called back into the home-based sessions, you know, I could feel myself getting closer and closer. And then when I finally got called up to an Irish kind of friendly camp against Iceland 2 years ago, it was about this time 2 years ago, June 2 years ago. And, you know, I was delighted to get up there, you know, felt like I fitted in well, but I just knew the girls were at a different level. And I, you know, thought to myself, if I'm going to really compete to get on this team, I'm going to have to go full time. So it's kind of that planted the seed of, is this possible? Like, you know, could I, you know, make a living out of playing football? And just talked to a lot of friends, family, colleagues, and everyone was just so supportive and, you know, just wanted me to go do it. And they said I was going to be working, you know, the doctor till probably in the age of 70 and can only be a footballer till about 35, 36. So, yeah, so just took that leap to about 15, 16 months ago. And luckily it has paid off and I've had a great season over in Hearts and in Edinburgh and just really loving full-time football.
Yeah, and what is the situation with Hearts and your club football for next year? Have you signed or what's the scenario there?
Yeah, I signed another year extension with the option to sign another year. The club has been so supportive for me in anything I needed last season, any little extras that I wanted to do, even use some of the men's staff for analysis, individual sessions. I trained with the boys over there sometimes too, just to get some extra top-up sessions. So the club itself is fully back in the women's department. The club last year was definitely a bit of a period of transition, but next year, you know, I think we released 9 players. They're signing 8 new players. It's just a promising place to be at, and honestly, I think it was a perfect place for me to develop myself and get myself ready for this World Cup.
Now, you won your first international senior cap back in November 2012. Just how much have things changed for you and for women's international football since then? I suspect, you know, we've heard so much about how the conditions have improved so much. So is it chalk and cheese to what you started with?
Honestly, it's absolutely chalk and cheese. Back in 2012, I think maybe 15, 16 players in the squad would have been home-based players in Ireland playing amateur level. And, you know, it was kind of an amateur mindset almost, even for us as the players, even at a young age. You know, it was obviously incredible playing for your country, but didn't, you know, we got invited to the States for my first cap, and that was pretty much a celebratory tour for them to hammer us, and they did. I think it was 5-0 and 5-0. Whereas now, you know, the States are invited us over as a pre-World Cup competitor. That just shows the level of even respect other countries have for us now. But when I went back up, it was just everything was so different. The way the girls interacted, the schedules, the amount of staff, the level of detail in the analysis. It was almost incomparable to what I had experienced back in 2012.
Yeah, I mean, I've no doubt that the apart from the players going over to Australia, you know, the backup there, the coaches, the expertise from nutrition to strength and conditioning, all that sort of stuff, that's a different ball game to what you started off with.
Absolutely, and I think sport in general, it's not just in women's sport, men's sport as well. And look at the Gaelic as well. Like everything's just becoming more and more professionalised and athletic. So, you know, you're either really going to fall off behind if you don't keep up. And luckily with the new reform in the FAI, everybody, you know, it's just, it's a great, you know, place to be at the moment as well. And I think that's across all boards, grassroots, everything. They're just really getting in the right people to try and help bring football in this country up on par with, you know, the top European teams, or European countries, sorry.
Now, you've played quite a lot of club football here in Ireland for the likes of Raheny United, UCD Waves. You've mentioned, of course, Shelburne. How important do you feel is it that the Women's League here domestically gets up to an even higher level, and that, you know, we can have maybe in the long term even a professional league here in this country?
I think it's really important. You know, at the moment, so the two girls on the team going to Australia both play for Shamrock Rovers. And that's the team that has just kind of bought themselves into the league this year, but they've gone straight into semi-professional status. So those two girls are already, you know, reaping the benefits of the men's department, and they have the facilities there. They have technical coaches with great experience, and the girls are on a much more professional schedule. And, you know, I can see that becoming the standard for each team. I think the League of Ireland aligning with the men's league, with the women's side, is the best way to bring it forward, because we have to use the resources. We have to have joint ventures in clubs to back each other, and we need initial support to, you know, for the funding for the league to grow. Because the team that I played with in Shelburne, seven of us have left to go abroad, and that's not really sustainable for the clubs, because FIFA rules is that the clubs don't get any money for any player signing professional contracts. They do in the men's game. It's a big issue in the women's game, because these feeder clubs and development clubs, you know, are starting to fold because they can't, you know, maintain being kind of a development team. But the way the league's going this year, I think they've already had a big step up from last year. It seems much more competitive. I think there's five teams now competing for the top. With the teams all being streamed, there's much more awareness of the league. But again, we just can't see ourselves, we can't end up being a feeder league. Otherwise, we're just going to lose all our top talents to the bigger teams. So investment needs to happen here in Ireland in order to keep growing the league and attract players back home as well.
Yeah. Now, tell us a little bit about the media attention, because with success comes more attention. I'm sure in your earlier days at an international level, there might have been the occasional phone call or photo shoot. Again, it's been transformed.
Yeah, our media officer was only thanking us yesterday, because we had a full morning of media up here in UCD. I think there were 60 plus, you know, kind of interviewers, media from all over the country, and I think even a few from abroad. Yeah, it's incredible. Again, I think everybody is very eager and enthusiastic to help out the media, because we know we need it. Like, you know, our purpose is absolutely to go over to the World Cup and do our best for the country, but it's also to try and inspire the next generation, and we need to do that by getting ourselves out in the media. But I think the FAI have been inundated with requests. You know, I think our team's a special team, and there's a lot of interest in it. It's also just great for the country at the moment, for the summer, to have a team competing at the world stage. We were talking about it yesterday, me and the girls, of how far, like, the excitement and joy, you know, receiving that good news on Tuesday spreads to people that, you know, you might not even think about. But there's connections in every county in the country now, so I think the whole country is going to be behind the team this summer.
Yeah. So Vera Paul is now a household name in Ireland, and it was probably a brave enough step for the FAI to bring her in, but it's certainly reaped dividends, and she's been hugely influential for Irish women's soccer.
Yeah, she really has. You know, again, just bringing in somebody with the experience that she has, and, you know, she's played and coached teams in different continents all over the world. She's, you know, worked with teams who are maybe in that development stage before, like South Africa. So when she came in, it's just been great. But even before her time, the FAI were starting to professionalise the game under Colin Bell, and, you know, she's kind of just grew even further from him. Yeah. Which we all benefit from now.
And as a group, obviously, you know Amber Barrett's well from over the years, but as a group, you know, the players, it's vital that you do spend time together, particularly ones who are coming back from other countries. And you're going out to Brisbane in good time. So that sort of week or so or more, you have a game behind closed doors, I think, against Colombia. How important will all that be, just acclimatizing over there and just getting ready those final preparations?
I think that's kind of the make or break at times going over there. You know, we've been building a good base here up in Dublin. They've organised it quite well that we're here in UCD at the moment, but it's quite relaxed. We just go in and train. There's no meetings. Just try and keep everybody mentally fresh as well. And then next week we go in, it's proper camp atmosphere. And when we play France, and then we go, we settle in. It's a long way away. And in terms of just even, yeah, jet lag, everything. And just turning our focus then. So the Colombia will be a great game just for everyone to get game time after putting in all the work over here, and then just prepare ourselves the best as possible. And then with group stages and these competitions, anything can happen. So our plan for the week will definitely change after the first game. So it's just about, you know, just going into every game with a plan and trying to execute our game plan as best as possible.
So Group B, you have Canada and Nigeria, but before that, you couldn't get a bigger opener than Australia, the host nation in Sydney. It'll be a full house, and the atmosphere, no doubt, will be tremendous. Massive TV coverage as well. I mean, you must be really so looking forward to it.
We really are, and I think as the Irish, we love the underdog title and ethos. So for us going over there, we know there's going to be, you know, a lot of Irish supporters. We've all been people reaching out to every single player, even before the squad has been announced, about people going. Even in Donegal, when I was home during the summer there for a week, there was a lot of people coming up to me telling me that they were going. Because a lot of people, there's a huge connection between Australia and Ireland, and if people are using this as an opportunity to go visit family, you know, that's kind of happening as well. But there's just a lot of fans going over, and then we have a lot of fans already living there. I have a few friends already, you know, they emigrated a few years ago who've all bought tickets, who are flying in from different cities in America and New Zealand to go to the games. So, yes, the place is going to be, you know, it's a huge stadium. There's going to be a lot of Australian fans, but I'm sure that we're going to hear the Irish roar over there as well.
Yeah. And finally, Ciara, you know, in it to win it, you know, why not? Let's. You have to give it your best, and who knows, in World Cups, we've got
a chance.
That's
it. Look at the men's World Cup there with Argentina. You know, didn't go too well for them at the start, and they ended up winning it. So I think in these games, anything can happen. Each game's like a cup game. We're going in just positive. It's a hard group, but sometimes the hard groups means there's upsets that can benefit other teams in the group. So, yeah, we're just really looking forward to it now.
And one last thing, you know, of course, the whole nation will be behind you, and no doubt this is going to inspire many people to get involved in the game. And, you know, for Irish soccer, for women's soccer, this is going to launch many a new career, and it really is a pivotal moment.
Absolutely. And look, being from Donegal, I'm always very, very proud of where I come from, and to have two Donegal players, and we've two members of staff as well, Denise McElhenney, Niamh McDade, both from Donegal, it's just incredible. And for, you know, young girls and boys in Donegal, just to show them that even though we're, you know, we're way up the northwest, you know, we are just as good as anyone else in the country. And, you know, Ireland has a long history of great sports people coming out from our county. Just try and inspire the next generation, and hopefully this will be the first of many major tournaments that we qualify now over the next coming years.
Ciara, we appreciate your time, and we wish you all the very, very best in the World Cup. Thanks for speaking to us.
Thank you very much.